All right, so tonight we'll discuss Shaul HaMelech, the first king. I was thinking about it last week, and, you know, Shaul seems to us to be a failure and a flawed individual. And really, as we go through the Navi and see the sources, Shaul really was a tzaddik. And he was the perfect person for the position at the time. But like any human being, the flaws that he has are eventually going to trip him up. So even though I suppose in retrospect his monarchy looks like a failure, in actuality it was never meant to endure. He was supposed to be replaced by a king from the tribe of Yehuda. So we have to understand Shaul in his greatness, and then in the coming weeks we'll see how his monarchy eventually collapsed. So, despite the improper request or motivation of the Jewish people for a king, God exceeds, and then the search for a king, or better said, the process of designation of a king begins. So obviously it's going to be a temporary king. As we know, the Torah says in Vayechi, the brachos of Avram to his sons, the bracha to Yehuda, lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda umachokek mi bein raglov, that the scepter shall never pass from the tribe of Yehuda. And yet the first king was not from the tribe of Yehuda. So how could that be? So we start, number 23. Turn the page to the back. And the Mishpat Zov brings two approaches. One of the Ramban and one of the Ran. The Ramban says, this is the Ramban on Chumash, that why was Shaul chosen when Klal Yisrael asked for a king? And a king from Beis David or Beis Yehuda wasn't chosen. So Ramban writes, "Vinyan Shaul hoya ki bavush dvar sheila samalchus veisahi nisav eitz hakadosh baruch hu," because the request itself of the Jews at that time was despised by God because they didn't ask properly. Lo rotzo lo hamlech aleihem min hashevet asher lo hamalchus shel yosur mimenu lo olamim. So God did not want to appoint a king from the tribe which would be the eternal monarchs of Israel. So God provided a temporary monarchy. In other words, the Jewish people asked for a sovereign, a human sovereign. But naturally, not having had one for centuries, they're going to break this king in not so gently, and they would have to accommodate themselves to a king. So this king would have had a very hard time. It's not entirely unlikely that after having a king, they would say, we don't want a king anymore. We want to go back to a Navi or Shofet. So therefore, God did not appoint a permanent king at first, but a king whose malchus would not last. I'll give you a king in my anger. It was against God's will. And therefore this Malchus itself was lost, was stopped, taken away. What do you mean, where was Shmuel? Well, Shmuel was against the king entirely. But you got to keep it. No, he did. It was last week. Are you kidding? Vayera hadavar b'nei Shmuel. He was distressed. It was wrong. Ra. And he prayed to Hashem. And Hashem said, lo escha ma'asu ki yosim ma'asu. And remember, he tried to dissuade them by telling them a king will be a dictator. So he did try. Now you're asking, why didn't Shmuel tell God to appoint some Shev Yehuda?
You know you're supposed to ask for a king. You have to ask a certain way.
Well, I mean, I can understand why he wouldn't. It's because, you know, at that time, Shmuel himself was the shofet. He was the leader. So it's basically asking that he be replaced. In other words, there was no time frame set for the institution of the monarchy. So why would someone who has a position of power say, even an admirable person, say, now it's time for someone else to take over, appoint someone over me? Shmuel, I don't want to say had to be coaxed into it, but he was simply, he saw himself as an Eved Hashem. Whatever God would say, that's what he would do. And that's the approach he took to the appointment as well. Shmuel was guided towards Shaul, and that's what we'll discuss tonight. He wasn't the one who picked Shaul at random. He didn't know Shaul at all. God is the one who leads him. How and why, we'll discuss. That's the Ramban. The Ran gives a second reason. The Ran says that we shouldn't have any questions about Malchus Shaul because Shehulov Tichu Shelo Yokom Leola Melech Ela Mishivto Kamosha Perashnu Ela Hodiu Shemeisha Hischa Malchusam Lo Tazur Lo Tivzak Legamri. He understands the pasuk entirely differently. Lo Yosu Shevet Miyehuda doesn't mean there'll never be a king from another tribe. It means that there can't be permanent malchus in another shevet, but that there should be an occasional melech from another tribe, that can occur. But the natural tribe of monarchy is the tribe of Yehuda. Of course, it's always up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who the king is going to be. Another reason is brought by the Griz, Revelvel Soloveitchik, who says that until the king from Yehuda is chosen, the pasuk lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda is not operative. Yehuda has to be nivchar, they have to be selected. Similar to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim also has to be selected. Until Yerushalayim is selected, there is no place for the mikdash. Until a king from the tribe of Yehuda is selected, there is no malchus Yehuda. Once a melech from the tribe of Yehuda is appointed, then Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda comes into existence. So why was Shmuel chosen, and who in fact was he? Let's look at number two first. Why start with one? It's so pedestrian. So the Gemara Sukkadaf Nun Beis Amid Beis quotes a pasuk in Micha that speaks about in establishing Shivo Rohim, seven shepherds, Ushmona Nesichei Adam, and eight princes of men. So, Maninu Shivarom, who are the seven shepherds? The seven shepherds of history. By the way, that's at the end of Mo's Sur, right? That's where the phrase is from. Roim Shivo. David Bemtza, Adam Sheis Misushelach Bimino. You have Adam Sheis Misushelach on the right of David. David's in the middle. Adam Sheis Misushelach, they are the three ancient ones before the designation of Klal Yisrael. Then you have Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe Bismolo, and David representing Malchus in the middle. Those are the Roim of human history. Umaninu Shmona Nesichei Adam, who are the eight princes of men? By the way, that phrase, that's where it's from, princes of men, Nesichei Adam. Who are they? Yishai, Shaul, Shmuel, Amos, Tzfanya, Tzidkiyahu, Moshiach, Eliyahu. All great people. At the very least, we see Shaul is defined as one of the Nisichei Adam, one of the princes of men. Meaning, as we'll see, Shaul was an incredible figure, and we shouldn't belittle or minimize his greatness. What he did will speak for itself, but his greatness will leap off the pages at us. So now let's turn to number one, which is Perek Tes and Shmuel Aleph. Yes. Vayihi ish mi bin yamin ushmo kish ben aviel ben sror ben bechoras ben afiach ben ishi mini gibor choyl. There was a man from bin yamin. His name was Kish. Ishi mini, me'ish ish means distinguished, gibor choyl, a mighty man of valor. Velo hayaven ushmo Shaul. He had a son whose name was Shaul, Bachur Vatov. Shaul was bachur, exceptional. Vatov, he was good. Vein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. There was no man in Israel who was better than him. Tov means, in the simplest sense, handsome. Shaul had he was striking in his features. Mishichmo v'malo gavoa mikol ha'om. From his shoulders up, he was taller than any of the people. That's a phrase we'll see tonight. It's interesting, in these two prokim, the three phrases that exist in modern Hebrew. One of them is these, Mishichmo v'malo, from his shoulders and up. Usually it's describing, Menachem Begin used to use it all the time to describe a warrior or someone who stands out. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than everyone else. All right, so Shaul was the choicest of all. By the way, also, Chazal say that Ein Tov Mimenu, Ein Ish Mibnei Yisrael Tov Mimenu, there's no one better than him, means that the king has to be the one who's the choicest. And if there's no one from Yehuda who's the choicest, you have to go to another tribe. So at this time, Shaul was the one who was desired.
Was David alive?
David was not alive. No, not yet. Not yet. In 1 second. Look at number 3. The Mishpat Zav speaks about this phrase, Mishichmo v'malo gavo mikol ha'om. So we'll get to the simple pshat in a second. The Mishpat Zav quotes the Kedusha Seinayim in the name of the Sefer Vodas Penim. And he says that Mishichmo v'malo is not talking in the physical sense, but Mirames la'ivorim shehim Mishichmo l'malo, that the organs that are from the shoulders up, in that he was unparalleled in his society. What's above the shoulders? Hamachshava shebemach, his intellectual powers. Painayim, his eyes. Meaning, lo sasur chelev avchem v'chei einaychem, he kept his gaze proper. Oznayim, his ears. He didn't listen to things he shouldn't listen to. Piv, his mouth, and speak Lashon Hara. Meaning in all the organs which generally propel us to sin, Samishichmo v'malo gavo mikol ha'om, he was above everyone else. Shebinyonim elu haya mizukach mikol Yisrael, in these matters he was the most pure of all of Israel, and therefore he was naki mikol chayt, he was completely free of sin. That's why he has the name Shaul, meaning lent or borrowed, as if he lent himself to God, meaning a human being who almost is not living the life of a human being. He's living a perfect life, like an angel. God is the borrower. Shekol hano shelo, every pleasure. He mosar kol hano shel Hashem Yisbarach. The pleasures of the eyes, of the ears, of the mouth, of the mind, he gave over to God. He was completely submissive to Hashem. V'yesh lazer remez b'kro mo Hashem alakecha shoel me'imach. What does God ask of you? What does God ask? That the organs that he gave us be consecrated to his service. That was Shaul. So he's perfect in midos, in mind, in speech, in hearing. Mishichmo v'malo. What else? Number 4. The Gemara Ma'id Katan, Daf Tezayin Mitbeis. So there's a parak in Tehillim begins, Shigayon leDavid asher shor l'Hashem al divrei Kush ben Yimini. It's a Tehillah that David sang about Shaul. Shaul is here called Kush. Why is he called Kush? V'chi Kush shmo v'alo Shaul shmo. Why is he called Kush? Elama Kushi Mishuna Behoro. Just like a Kushi, an Ethiopian, is different in his skin color. In a white society, he's different from his skin color, not in a multicolored society, but just like a Kushi is different in his skin, Af Shaul Meshuna B'Mayisov, so too, Shaul is different in his deeds. How's he different? So Rashi says, Tzadik Gomor, Shaul was completely righteous. Completely righteous. What else? Look at number 6. The Gemara Yomachov Beis Amit Beis. A few prakam later, it says that Ben Shana Shaul b'Malcho, Shaul was a year old when he became the king. All right? So how could it be? A year old? It wasn't a year old. Amar Rav Huna, Kiventron is like a year old infant. Shelo Toam Tam Chet. He never tasted sin. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Mepnei Ma Lo Nimshcha Malchus Bei Sheol. Why didn't Sheol's kingdom endure? Mepnei Shelo Hoya Bo Shum Dofi. Because he didn't have any scandal. He didn't have any skeletons in his closet. Damar Biyochanam Yishim Rishim Ben Yod Tzadok Ein Mamid Im Parnas Al Atzibur Elam Kein Kupa Shal Shrotzim Tluya Bo Me'acharov. We don't appoint a leader over the community unless he has literally a Kupa Shal Shrotzim, a container of reptiles, meaning in our idiom skeletons in his closet. Shem Tazuach Dait Olav, if it becomes too haughty, Omrim Lo Chazor Lacharech, look behind you. You think you're better than everyone. Look what you did, A, B, C, you know better than anyone else. So in fact, according to this Gemara, Sheol was perfect in retrospect. He was too perfect. He was too perfect. He never experienced the normal struggles of the average man. Because spiritually he was so superior to the rest of the society. Yes. On some level, we'll see Sheol's greatness. I mean, if we look at it now, it's stunning because we know the end of the story. But now we see an individual described as perfectly righteous, as few people are. And yet we know the outcome. Now, some of the outcome will be justified. Other parts of it are going to be horrifying. And we'll ask ourselves, how did this person, Shlo Tam Tamche, Mishchmo Vamalo, Tzadik Gomur, Ein Lo Shum Dofi, how does this person then kill Novi Arkanim? How does he become so obsessed with Dovra Melech? How does a person who's completely perfect all of a sudden change? And that will be the discussion that we pick up next time. But let's lay the foundation and at least give Sheol HaMelech his due. So, the simple pshat, Mishichmo V'malo, is that it's in terms of his appearance. Sheol was tall, and he was strong, he was handsome, we'll see he's self-effacing, he's humble. Sheol looked the part of a king, and that is a very impressive phenomenon. We think we are very sophisticated, but if you think about it, there have been very few presidents who've been short, not to insult anyone who's not tall, but very few presidents are short, very few presidential candidates are short. If I was just thinking before, you go about the last 30 years or so, Dukakis, exactly, and Dukakis was ridiculed for being short. He didn't look presidential. There are a number of presidents who don't look presidential. Nixon was one, all right. But if he was one. Truman, in a sense, was another. But if you look at the presidents, whether it's even Bush today, you know, Bush is taller than he looks. I mean, he stood eye to eye. He's about an inch taller than I am. Bush, even Gore had a look. Or Gore's a little stiffer than the normal person. But Clinton was tall, Dole, Bush's father, Reagan, Dukakis didn't fit the mold. And Kennedy had a certain aura about him. That's what people look for. The most presidential looking president ever was who? No, Lincoln could not get elected today. He was too ugly. Warren Harding. Warren Harding had a very majestic. Warren Harding succeeded Wilson, died in office. If you had read my article in the Bulletin this month, so, what's that?
What's the R stand for?
What's that?
What's the R stand for?
R? Stephen Rabbi Przanski, like Edward Cardinal Egan.
I thought it was Stephen Rambo.
That's Robert.
Rabbi, just yeah. Talking about
so in fact, Harding had a very majestic appearance, but it was a complete incompetent. So appearances count for something, but there needs to be substance too. Napoleon, yeah.
But
Napoleon wasn't elected.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's why his last name today is complex.
To appointments of a certain leader, if you're off the run for the popular vote, you have to have this charisma.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So what happens now? Vatovadno ha'asonos, a very inauspicious way to begin the process of finding a king. Vatovadno ha'asonos l'kish avishol. Kish owned donkeys. The donkeys were lost. Vayomer kish al shol b'no. Kish said to Shaul his son, "Kachno et choes achad mehana orim v'kum lech bakesh aso asonos. Go take one of the lads and look for my donkeys." This journey of Shaul is going to culminate in his arrival at Shmuel's house, and he's going to be anointed the king, unbeknownst at this time to Shaul, and unbeknownst to Shmuel. So, Vayavar, he passes Har Ephraim, doesn't find it. Eretz Shalim, doesn't find. Come to Eretz Suf, also they don't find. Then he says, V'sholomar l'naro asher imo l'cho v'noshuvo pen yechdal avi min ha'asonos v'da'aglonu. Let us return, because lest my father stop thinking about the donkeys, v'dag lonu, and he'll start worrying about us. Alright? What does that tell us? Beautiful statement. Look at number 12. Chazal says, Tosefta and Brachos, Shaul lo zocho l'malchus elim ibnei ha'anova. Shaul merited to be the king because he was exceedingly humble. Shenemar v'dag lanu. My father is going to worry about us. Us, me, and the servant. Shakal avdo bo. He construed the servant as the same level as him. Not that his father worried just about him, but about us. That showed the greatness of spirit on the part of Shaul. Turn to number 20 on the back. Hinei kvar nemar chazal, again, from the Mishpat Zov. B'schar tzniu shehoya bo b'rochel zochso v'yotso mimeno shol. Rochel was a tznuah, immodest. Therefore, she was zocha to have Shaul as a descendant. Shaul had the same type of humility, so therefore, he was zocha also to have Esther. V'akesher bein atznius l'malchus u'poshut. The connection between tznius and royalty is obvious. Ki yisod ha-malchus u-mi asher lo nitzrach l'acherim v'lo chosar lo ha-rechos shalohem. The foundation of kingship is that a person does not need anyone else, does not look to them for his self-esteem. V'yesh lo kochos p'nimim latzor b'kirbo as ha-mailo shalo. He has the inner strength to thwart his desires in the improper areas. Umisha Yeshla Maluchal Atzma, he's a king over himself. Ulakach Yochalios Logamaluchal Acherim. Therefore, he could rule over others. Shaul was a person, he didn't expect anything from anyone else. He didn't see himself as better or superior to anyone else. He was in full control of himself, meaning a person whose ego overruns him is one who's not in control of himself. Shaul was, and therefore he's fit for Malchus. One other point. Chazal explain why was it that Shaul was sent on this search for donkeys. So you see, it's all part of Shaul's education and his training process. The Mishpat Zov notes that it's similar to the Avos, all our Avos, and David HaMelech, and Moshe Rabbeinu. They were all shepherds. If Shaul is worried about the donkeys of his father, like a shepherd is worried about each and every one of the flock, so certainly then he's worried about the nefoshos of people. Allah has kama v'chama. And the Archaim HaKadosh says, very interestingly, on the Pasuk in Devarim, that speaks of returning lost objects. Lo sireh shor achicha. If you find your brother's ox, or your brother's sheep, nidachim, straying about, hashev tishivem lachicha, you should surely return them to your brother. Aruch Chaim says that the pasuk on a metaphorical level, refers to people. You see, shorachicha nidachim. They're people, lowly people. They behave like shavarim, like oxen, and they're lost. They're straying. They're wandering about, and you see them. Hoshev tishivim lochicha. You should strive to return them to your brother. Brother here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that the king, one of the king's jobs is choneinu merachem laktanim v'laktolim. He's gracious and compassionate to the small and the great. He doesn't just deal, you know, with the elites, with the wealthy people. He deals with every person. Someone who has the care and sensitivity to be sent on a mission to search out for donkeys, and he takes it very seriously. Such a person can be entrusted with human life as well. And of course, we can't forget that this is all planned by the Hashgacha. Divine Providence sends Shaul on this mission. So on this mission, he finds his way to the house of Shmuel. So the Novi continues. The Nar says to Shaul, before we go back to your father, Hinei no'ish Elokim bo'ir azos, there's a man of God in the city. Bo'ish nichbod, he's very esteemed. Ko asher yidaber bo'yavo, whatever he says comes to be. So now let's stop in. Ulai yagid lanu es darkeinu asher halachnu aleh. Maybe he'll tell us what route to take. Maybe he'll tell us where the donkeys are. So Shaul says, how can we go visit the Navi when we have nothing to give him? No gift, no lechem, no teshura, moitanu. So Nar says, I have a quarter of a shekel. We'll give it to him and he'll tell us. And now, look at number 7. I deleted this pasuk originally because it really is a pasuk which is just superimposed on the text. But then I saw it has a significance in understanding what's happening. Shmuel Anovi, when he writes this years later, adds, Lifanim b'Yisrael, in the past in Israel, Ko amar ha'ish b'lechto l'drosh Elohim, l'chu v'nelchad ha'roeh. Before, people, when they wanted to inquire of God, would say, let's go see the roeh, the seer. Ki la'novi hayom yikore lifanim ha'roeh. What's called a novi today, in the past, was called the Ro'eh. What's the difference between a Ro'eh and a Navi? So the Malbim says that they would seek in the past the Navi's help even to find lost objects. The Navi was like a diviner. He was a Ro'eh. So the Malbim says a seer whose primary job was to help individuals with their problems, as opposed to a Navi. Navi gives tochacha, he rebukes people, teaches them Torah. The Navi brings literally the Niv Hashem, the message of God. So the role of the Navi changed. At one point he was a roeh, he was counseling people individually. Then he became a Navi, he had to speak to the nation as a whole. In number 8, the Mishpat Zov quotes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who has a very, very lengthy essay which gives us a yisod that is important to our understanding of the sugya. So the Mishnah says that Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, umsar li Yoshua. Moshe received the Torah from Hashem. He transmits it to Yoshua. Yoshua, the Zkenim. So who are the Zkenim? So Rabbi Yaakov said the Zkenim were the Shoftim. The Shoftim, of whom we discussed in the past, the Shoftim, the judges, they had two essential tasks. They were charged with guiding the nation as well as transmitting the Mesorah. So they really were the political leaders as well as the spiritual leaders. The Navi, such as they existed, was just a roeh who helped people with their personal needs. Now we come to a watershed moment in Jewish history. Shmuel is now the shofet. He's now the Navi. He's now the political leader, and he is the spiritual leader. Now Shmuel is going to appoint Shaul HaMelech, Shaul as the Melech, the melech becomes the manhig, he becomes the leader of the nation, the political leader, but he has no responsibility for the mesorah. The Navi now becomes the manhig ruchani. He becomes the spiritual leader who's entrusted with transmitting the mesorah. Umsora liyoshua, Yoshua lizkenim, lizkenim, linaviyim. Neviim Lanchei Knesset HaGdolah now becomes a different era. The king, he's responsible for political, military, bilateral matters. The Navi, he's solely responsible for spiritual matters. So in fact, for the first time, you have a division of responsibilities. Because Moshe was both, Yeshua was both, the Shoftim were both. Now it's separate. Kohen Gadol, he was primarily charged with the Avodah. As a teacher of Torah too. He was a teacher of Torah as well. Yeru Mishpotech Yaakov, as far as Holy Israel, to drop and shave at Levi entirely. But that's not his primary role. Now you have for the first time, so Shmuel inserts it here, because it's about to happen. His role is about to be diminished, and Shaul is going to assume a new role. Look at number 8. Kasher
When the era of the Shoftim ended, so then the era of the king started. The kings were manhige ha'om, ach lo morog.
They were the leaders, political leaders, but they weren't teachers. The Novi before was a roe, meaning hamore prati, would teach people what to do privately. Hafach liyo samanig ruchani. He became just a spiritual leader. Tafkid shaymutal lefanim ala shofet. The task that had previously been assigned to the shofet, now it changes, and the whole chain of the mesorah changes. I mean, it's a major shift. You only have 4: Moshe, Yeshua, Zkenim, Neviim, Lanchei Knesset HaGdolah. After Moshe, just 4 parties. This shift actually takes place here. Look at the next paragraph. Bimei Shmuel ishtanta hanagasa. Shmuel's time, the method of leadership changed. Oz munas Shaul lemelech haYisrael umemele hishtana gam mamado shel Shmuel. One Shaul was appointed, so in fact, one aspect of Shmuel's job was taken away. Kodem shemalach Shaul hayah Shmuel shofet vayinikra b'shem Navi. He was not called Shmuel haNavi till now. He's Shmuel the shofet. If they need him something which had no national dimension to it, for example, to find out where the lost donkeys were, so that say he was the roe, he would know, he had this insight. Once the melucha started, Shmuel stopping a judge, and that's the change that takes place here, and in fact it's a significant change in the governance of Klal Yisrael. Okay, they go to Shmuel's house. Well, not yet. They try to find Shmuel's house. Vayomer Shaul Naro, Tov Dvarcha, good, let's go. They go to the city where they know Shmuel is. Hema Olin B'Malei Ha'ir. They climb the ascent to the city. They go, they find women drawing water. And what does that remind you of? Rivka, Rachel, Tzipporah. They say to the girls, is this the town where the Roeh lives? Vata'anena osam vatomarna. Yesh, hine lefanecha. They answer them by saying, yes, this is it. Here he is, and he's right before you. Maher ata, listen to the wordy statement. Maher ata keyom boloir, quickly, hurry, because he came to the city today. Ki zevach hayom lom babamo. Today's the day they offer a karbon at the Bama, meaning when the Mishkanos of Nov and Givon existed, you could have private altars too. So when you come to the city, you'll find him. Before you go up to the Bama to eat,
people won't eat before he comes. He's going to bless the karma. Then the invited guests eat. Now go up because you're going to find him today. What was his question? Is this the city where the Ro'eh lives? Why the Megillah? So look at number 9. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. V'kol kach lomo. Why they give such a long-winded answer to his question? The question was a yes or no question. So three answers are given. One, l'fi shanoshim dabroni osein. All right, women can be a little chatty. Okay? What this means is that it plays no inherent role in the story, but it's just, that's the way it is. They were chattering on. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel said, no, it plays a role in the story. Why do they do this? Kidei listakel b'yofio shel Shaul. Because they want to just keep staring at him. They're talking and talking. Girls, they saw. Mishachmo v'malo. They saw a good-looking man, like the men here tonight. They wanted just to keep talking. So it means, as soon as they saw Shaul HaMelech, made a very deep impression on them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lefi shein malchus nogas b'chaveret afilu kimalonimo." One kingdom cannot touch another, even by a hair's breadth. So Rashi says in 11, "Lefi she Shmuel hayamanig es Yisrael, v'shol hayanotel es hasrara." Shmuel was now the leader. Shaul was about to take away his leadership. Misha diber Shmuel elav. As soon as Shmuel spoke to him, v'orech dvarim. Just their lengthy speech delayed it for a moment. Now, why was that important? Because their paths are going to cross. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's all hashkacha. Had the girls not spoken at length, and by the way, if the Gemara mentions this, it means they didn't say two psukim. They probably went on and on and on. It means that if they had not spoken at that length, they wouldn't have met up. So they did speak, and so in fact the paths crossed directly. Indeed, Vayalu Hoir, Hema Boim Sochair, Vineshmo Yatzelik Rasom Lo Sabamah. They're entering the city exactly the same time Shmuel is coming towards them to go to the Bama. Now, let's go backwards for a moment. Vashem Golos Ozan Shmuel Yomechalof Nebosho Lemur. The day before, God had revealed in Shmuel's ear, the day before Shaul came, saying, "Ka'es machar eshlach elecha ish me'eretz Binyamin umshachto linagid alami Yisrael." Tomorrow, at this time, I'm going to send to you a man from the land of Binyamin. You'll anoint him to be the nagid, the prince, the ruler over the people. He'll save the people from the plishtim. I've seen what's happening to my people, seen their distress. Their cry has come before me. Ushmuel ra'a Shaul. So literally, they bump into each other. Shmuel sees Shaul. At that moment, Vashem anohu. God speaks to him. At that moment, it's as if a whisper in his ear, kivyachol. God says to him, "Hineo ish asher amarte elecha." This is the one, Zeh Yatzor Bami. This is the one who will rule over my people at that moment. Well, how do you break the news to a guy who's on a mission to find donkeys that he's now to be the king of Israel and go out and defeat the Plishtim? Vayigashol Shmuel b'sol hashar. So Shaul approaches Shmuel at the gate, and Shaul says to him, "Agidon Ali, Ezer Beis Haroeh, where's the house of the seer?" Vayan Shmuel Shaul Vayomer Anochi Haroeh, I am the seer. Come with me. So he invites him, come with me to the Bama. You'll eat with me. I'll send you away. And then he says, he's a good Navi Shmuel. Velasono Savdos Lecha, your lost donkeys. He wasn't told about them, but that's his business. He's a Navi. Your lost donkeys now for 3 days. Al Tosem Eslipcha Lohem Kinimtzel. Don't worry. They were found already. And besides, ulemi kol chemdas Yisrael halo lecha ulechol beis avicha. Besides, to whom does all the most desirable property in Israel, chemdas Yisrael, belong, if not to you and your father's family? What does that mean? What was the Mishpat HaMelech we did last week? King owns everything. See, he breaks it very subtly to Shaul. Don't worry so much about the donkeys. Oh, land, everything belongs to you. Well, what does Shaul do? You see his greatness. Vayan Shaul Vayomer. Halo ven yamini anochi. First of all, like Gosha said before, he knows the pasuk in Dvarim. Lo yasa sheva mi Yehuda. What are you coming to us? I'm from Binyamin. All right? So Binyamin is a few things. He's not Yehuda, he's the youngest of the tribes. And it was the tribe that was decimated during the massacres of Pilegash Begiva. All right? Sahalo Benyamini Anochi, Miktanei Shiftei Yisrael, were the smallest of the tribes. U'mishpachti Hatzira Mikol Mishpachot Shiftei Benyamin. And my family, the Kish family, is the smallest, the youngest of all the families of Binyamin. V'lama dibarte like hadavar zeh. Why are you talking to me like this? All right? Humility. Shaul is mishichmo v'malo gavo mikol ha'om. But he didn't see it in himself. He didn't see that he had the requisites of kingship. So Shmuel takes Shaul. They go back to Shmuel's house, and they have a feast, and then the pasuk says, "They eat together." Shmuel takes Shaul to his roof. There, they spend the night on the roof. So Rashi says they spend the night on the roof. Shmuel teaches Shaul about Yiras Hashem, what it means to be the king. The Malbim says he conveys the Mesorah, the Sisrei Torah. He teaches him the mysteries of Torah and metaphysics. One night, he arms him with, well, again, we said before, Shaul is a Mishachmo Bamala, Machshov Shebamocho, he's a great genius too. Shmuel tells him the deepest insights into Torah. So as the king, there should be no area of knowledge that is closed to him. What happens next? They go out. Now let's turn to number 10. Vayikach Shmuel as pacha shemen, vayitzog arosho, vayishaker. Shmuel takes a flask of oil, pours it onto Shaul's head, he kisses him, and he says, Vayomer, halo ki mishochacho Hashem al nachloso l'nagid. Indeed, God has appointed you as the ruler over his heritage. Oh, so it's Machlokes Rishon. All right. Some say it's not Shemana Mishcha, it's Shemana Far Simon. Others say, no, it was Shemana Mishcha. That this is the king that God designated, so therefore he used Shemana Mishcha. There's a sheet to the Rishonim that it was not. Shemana Mishcha is used only Machlokes Beis David. That Machlokes is in fact reflective of the whole argument of what kind of Melech was Shaul. L'chadchila, b'diyeved, legitimate, illegitimate, etc. Be that as it may, Shmuel anointed him at God's instruction, so that suffices for us. We're not going to quibble. The Shemana Mishcha is used to endow the king with the imprimatur of the Mikdash. This is done, you know, the water, that's Malchus Beis David. That's the Shiloach, that's a different thing, that's Yerushalayim. Okay. Well, Shaul was too modest to believe, even now, that he was the chosen one. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, and like Gidon, what did Shaul want? Proof. He wanted proof from the Navi that he was really the chosen one. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu asked God for signs. The mate, the leprous hand, he wanted proof that he was the one. So Shmuel gives him three signs. Again, it's in number 10 on the left side. First, he says, Bilechtecha hayom mi modi, you'll leave me today, umatzasa shnei anashim im kuras rochel begvul Binyamin betzeltzach. You'll find two men near the tomb of Rachel at the border of Binyamin at Tzeltzach. V'mroi lecha nimtzu asanos asher alach luvakesh. The donkeys have been found. All right? And now your father's worried about you. Okay. That's the first sign. Agav urcha. So here you have a very famous and difficult pasuk, because it says you'll find two men in kuras Rachel. Bikvul Binyamin. Okay? So Rashi says, V'halok v'as rocha bikvul Yehuda beves locha. How could the Novi say that Kever Rochel is in Eretz Binyamin, when in fact we know ostensibly it's in Beis Lechem Yehuda? So Rashi says it means that now they're at Kever Rochel and they're heading north, and you'll meet them when they head north. In which case, we have to explain why Rashi would make that reference altogether. Reb Meir, though, in the Medrash says no. Reb Meir says the Kever Rochel is in Eretz Binyamin. And as I mentioned a number of times, I spoke about it on a Friday night here a year or two ago, that many of the religious guides in Israel think that Kever Rochel is not in where it's traditionally held to be, but in fact is north of Yerushalayim. And they've even pinpointed a site which accords with the descriptions given here and in the Medrash, because there are two phenomena we have to understand. First, Beit Lechem is not a specific name of a town. It's a generic name. Beit Lechem literally is the house of bread, meaning it's a very fertile place or a warehouse of bread where people came for wheat. So in fact, at the beginning of Rus, it says Elimelech was from Beit Lechem Yehuda, meaning Yehuda had a Beit Lechem, and Binyamin had a Beit Lechem, and the Galil had a Beit Lechem. So it's defined Beit Lechem Yehuda. Never says, by the way, that Rachel's buried in Yehuda. The second point is, it seems odd that Rachel would be buried in the territory of Yehuda, who's the arch rival of her son Yosef, and not where it would be more natural. As the exiles left Yerushalayim, Zakol Baramon Ishmo Nehi V'samrim Rachel Mivakol Boneh, Rachel's crying for children. The Medrash says the children will walk by and they'll see Kevrach on the way to Bavel. Left Yerushalayim to go to Bavel, you're heading north, you're not heading south. That's right. And in fact, that's where it's placed. I passed that area last April. We stopped there for a moment. It was pointed by the rocks, a boulder, etc., the monument, Ariyom Hazeh. But, you know, the Kever Rachel in Beit Lechem has its own importance, even if it may not be. I mean, it's a place where people think of Rachel, so that itself is significant, even if it might not necessarily be the Kever. All right, at any rate, Shaul is told that this is the first os. Two men, Kever Rachel, they are going to meet you and tell you that the donkeys are found. Next, you'll leave there Uvasar Elon Tavor, go to Har Tavor, right smack in the triangle. Umtzoch Hashem Shloshan Hashem. There you'll find three men. They're going to Beit El. Echad nosei shloshot gidoyim, echad nosei shloshes kikros lechem, echad nosei nevel yoin. One carrying three kids, one carrying three loaves of bread, one carrying a container of wine. They'll greet you, they'll give you two breads, and you should take them. V'lakachta miyadam. That's the second os, meaning Shmuel predicted this would happen. Third, echad keng tavo givasa elokim, asher shom netzivei plishtim. You'll come to the mountain, the hill of God. And when you arrive in the city, you'll encounter Chevel Nevi'im, a band of prophets, Hema Misnabim, Vitzolcha Olecha Ruach Hashem Visnabisa Imam. Then the Spirit of Hashem will pass over you, and you'll begin to prophesy with them. V'nepachta Lishacher, you'll become a different person. Three osos. And in fact, as the Novi continues, he says, in Pasuk Tes, that he leaves Vayavo Kol Hososa Elu Bayomahu.
all these osos came to pass. What exactly are these osos? So if you look at number 26, the Mishpatz Osof says, what are the significance of these three osos? So he quotes Reb Moshe Tzedek Shlito, explained that there is a connection. So he said the melech requires three haskamos, three agreements in order to serve as the king. One, he needs the agreement of his family, of his mishpacha. And that's the Kevah Rachel reference here. Because remember, Yaakov was promised about Rachel, u'melachim echalotzecha yetzeo, that there'd be kings coming from her. So now that's the fulfillment, the coming from Kevah Rachel, your descendant of Rachel. So now you have the scum of the family, and he'll tell your father's waiting for you. You need the agreement of the tzibur. People come, they give him tribute, they give him food. And of course, you need the agreement of the Nevi'im, because ultimately it's the Navi who appoints the king. Or simply, Rachel is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Milochim. Three men come, and they pay him these taxes, which the king is owed, and the elevation to the status of a Navi shows that Shaul is worthy to be the king. So now everything seems to be in place. What's the only point that's missing? Selling it to the people. Because as you could well imagine, the people, they ask for a king. But, you know, Jews are, they're not going to leave it to Shmuel to find a king. Everybody has their own candidates, usually a son or son-in-law. So what happens? Look at number 16. Turn the page. Now look at 15 first. It's Perek Yud now, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayatzeg Shmuel Esau Mel Hashem HaMitzpah. Shmuel gathers all the people HaMitzpah. Why does he gather them? So the Malbim, who knows of what he speaks, says as follows. He quotes Rabbi Yitzchak HaRamah. Malbim is in 16. And he says, since the choice of the king was through God's auspices, why did he have to sell it to the people? Get the people involved. Just tell them. This is the one God appointed. Aleph, Shelo Yiplu Beinem Ketotos Merivos Kikolachot Yisnasem Limloch. So there shouldn't be an outbreak of controversy and strife amongst Jews, because now that they've agreed on the basic point that they need a king, who's going to want to be the king? Everybody. Everyone will say, I should be the king. Second, Achash HaMelech Tzarech Sheyeh Libo Noki Migayva V'chemda V'chol Tchun Oro Lo Yivchon Levovo Rak HaBochen Talum Oslev. Once the king is, we know he has to be free of arrogance or desire or any poor characteristic. The only one who could choose him really is God. So therefore, Shmuel had to concoct the ceremony whereby the people would know God is making the choice. We'll see in a moment. And thirdly, Shem Yeh Nivchar Minoam Yeh Nichna Lohem V'yisaponim Asher Bochor Oso Lochem B'yoso B'chir Hashem. If someone is appointed or chosen by the people, then he's always dependent on the people. And for a leader to be dependent on the people is very harmful, because then he has to curry favor with them. He has to be mindful of the polls, of his popularity, and that itself inhibits true leadership. So Shmuel needs now to bring the people in. There's also the danger they'll say to him, yeah, we want a king. Who are you to appoint the king? Or they'll say, who did he appoint? Who is Shaul? No one ever heard of him. So he's appointing someone who will reflect well on Shmuel. Shmuel's a great leader, he's a Navi, he appoints a relative nobody, an unknown. Who's going to want to accept that? Right. You know, in every shul they designate Gaboim to find someone to daven, right? And yet it doesn't stop the people from saying, this is the guy you appointed. There are dozens of others you could have appointed. So even though Shmuel was entrusted with the mission, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to agree to his choice of king. See, the premise of all these discussions is that the basic personality of Jews has never changed. Never changed from the time of the formation of the Am until today.
It's never changed. We have to keep that perspective in mind. Who does he first have to sell it to? His family. So in fact, look at number 13. Vayomer ha'om, top right. Ishel Reyehu. One person says, the nation says, one person says to his friend, Mazeh ha'yelaven kish. What happened to Shaul's son? Hagam Shaul banviim. That's the second of the aphorisms, famous aphorism. Hagam Shaul banviim. Is now Shaul a prophet too? Meaning they knew Shaul. Vayan ish misham vayomer. Mi abihem, who's his father? What are we talking about here? We know this guy. Al kein haisalim mashal. Therefore became a parable. Hagam Shaul banviim. And the Radak quotes 14. It's until this day. You still find that if you read the Israeli newspapers on occasion, or literature, it's a common phrase. When someone who's lowly suddenly has a meteoric rise to the top, or in a more common expression today, if someone's a social climber, they'll say, Hagam Shaul Banviim, this guy we know Shaul. Who was he? Shuli. Shuli is a Navi. Shuli was just sent out 3 days ago to find donkeys. Now he comes back, he's a Navi and a king. How could that be? Vayomer, Dod Shaul I love. His uncle says to him. Oh, he's the uncle. Vel Naro, on Halachtim, where did you go? Alright, so now his uncle hears also, he's a Navi. By the way, it's tragic, it's not funny anymore, but we were in Israel, they had on one of their comedy shows, not the news, it's a comedy show, they have a show of skits, they had one skit about Ilan Ramon, Zichrono Livracha, and it was very funny because he was getting constant phone calls. So the skit was, the astronauts are there, and they keep saying, oh, your uncle's on the phone, your aunt's on the phone, your grandmother's on the phone, your sister, your friend, your brother, your sister, they're all calling. And by the end of the skit, they say, let's get out of here, just leave him to make his phone calls, and they leave. But that's the point. Hagam Shul Banviim, here's Shul, Shul, little Shuli. 2 days later, 3 days later, he's Melech Bi Yisrael. He's Navi Bi Yisrael. How could it be? So his uncle says to him, Hagidon Ali, Mamar Lachem Shmuel, tell me, what did Shmuel tell you? All right, uncle, here's the buzz. Vayomer Shaul el Dodo, so Shaul says to his uncle, Hagid he gidlanu kinim tsuasonos. He told us the donkeys were found. Period. Vies dvaram lucho lo higidlo asher mashmuel. Regarding the kingship, that he did not say a word. Look at 19 on the left side. Again, it was part of his personality. He was very self-effacing. So even though all these things are happening around him, Shaul doesn't accept. He doesn't naturally seek power. In fact, he's not in that sense a natural leader because he doesn't have the ambition to seek power. So, going back to 15, Shmuel gathers everyone and he goes through the history again. God took you out of Egypt and saved you, and now you vatem hayom. Now today, me'astem es Eloheichem. You've rejected God. Asher moshiel lachem mikor oseichem, mitzor oseichem. Atomu ki melech tasu monani ves for king. Vatos yatzu lifnei Hashem l'shifteichem lafeichem. Now you sit here, all you multitudes, big crowd, and the entire nation, meaning a majority of the people were there. Ve'agrave Shmuel es kol shiftei Yisrael. Shmuel brought all the tribes near. What does that mean? He brought them near. So look at 22. The Metsudos, Ratzolomar, hikriv shemos kol shvatim lifnei ha'urim v'tumim latil agorol. How was he going to demonstrate Shaul's the king? Urim v'tumim. For those who don't know, Urim v'tumim were the stones on the breastplate, the choshen of the Kohen Gadol. The stones were engraved with letters, with the names of the tribes. And then at the end, because some letters are missing, Kol Shiftei Yisrael, Shiftei Yisrael, Shiftei Yishurun, every letter in the alphabet is there. The letters were flash at random, and the Kohen had to interpret it. And as he interpreted, people understood. So Shmuel brought out the Kohen Gadol Urim V'Tumim, Vayilocheid Shevet Binyamin. You can follow along in number 15. Shevet Binyamin was singled out. Vayakrev is Shevet Binyamin L'Mishpachosav, Vatilochad Mishpachas Hamatri. So Binyamin was singled out, then the Matri family was singled out, then the Kish family, Vayilochad Shaul Ben Kish. Shaul was singled out by the Urim V'Tumim, so people knew he's the one. Ve'evakshu, so they now search for him. He's there, of course. Ve'lo nimtza, they didn't find him. They did not find him. He's AWOL. Ve'yeshalu od b'Hashem, they ask God again, Havo od halom ish, has the man come here? Is Shaul here? Ve'yomer Hashem, God says yes, hinehu nechboel akelim. He's hiding among the baggage, all right? Which is the third of the popular aphorisms today. When someone is AWOL, someone is trying to shirk responsibility, they'll say, Nechbal HaKelim. He's hiding among the baggage. You ask the question verbally, and then the lights flash. Exactly. And it flashed. Hinehu nechbal akelim. He's hiding among the baggage. Vayarutzu vaykachu misham. They ran, they took him, they stood him in the midst of the people. What do they see? Vayikpa mikol ha'am yishchmo v'malo. Again they see, shoulders and up and above. He's taller than everyone. Vayomer Shmuel el kol ha'am. Har isem asher bachar bo Hashem. You see who God chose? Ki en kamo v'chol ha'am. There's no one like him among all the people. Vayariu cholam. All the people shouted. Vayomru. They said, Yechi hamelech. Let the king live. Let the king live. So in fact, this was part of Shaul's modesty again that made him roi lemalchus. He was singled out. And then in fact, he hid. They said, Yechi hamelech. Right? So what happens then? Shmuel then tells the people again, Mishpatam Lucha, all the privileges of the king, writes them down, he sends them, Vayishalach Shmuel Skolom, Ish Leveso, Vigam Shaul Halach Leveso Givasa. He goes home too. He goes home. Radak says in 21, Vigam Shaul Halach Leveso, Laudia Shehalach Lo Leveso Kivat Chilim, and back to his home, as if he's a regular person. Since he saw he wasn't accepted by everyone, he just returned home. He didn't conduct himself as a king. How do we know he wasn't accepted by everyone? So, no, it's the fate of all Jewish leaders. Look at the next pasuk. Base, lowly men said, how can this person save us? Who is this guy? He's an unknown. They mocked him. They didn't bring him any tribute. What was Shaul's reaction? He remained mute. He didn't say anything. In fact, no, I'm the king. They don't want me to be the king. I'm not the king. I'll go home and that's it. You'll find another king. That was Shaul's attitude. That attitude got him the job, so to speak, and that attitude is going to plague him as he begins to be the king. So Shaul, in summary, was the greatest of his generation. There's no doubt about that. And he was the ideal king. But you see already the seeds of disaster. Shaul, again, a prerequisite for kingship is anava, is humility. Of course, because of his humility, he let these people ridicule him, and that already undermines some of the image of the king, that the aura that the king requires to govern effectively. Look at number 25. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Tziyom Adav Chav Bez Amit Bez, Mipnei Ma Ne'na Shaul. Why was Shaul punished? meaning why did Shaul eventually fail? Bibnei Shemochal al Kvodo, because he waived his honor. Shenemar, Uvnev Liyal Amru Mai Yoshienu Zeb, Ivzu, Levilo Menchov, Ikamacharish, he said nothing. What happens next? Vayal Nochash Amoni, the Amon comes and they attack. They first make a covenant with the Jews, so there's a split, a little split in the nation. But Shaul doesn't respond. His attitude is he'll be Mochilis Kavod. That's his personality. Of course, Melech Shemochal al Kvodo, En Kvodo Mochul. The king can't ever be Mochil on his Kavod, because that's the essence of monarchy. Som tasim alecha melech, shetei maso alecha. You have to fear the king. If nobody fears the king, if people ridicule the king, so he is no king. Eventually, what's going to happen is that he desperately craves, he desperately seeks the approval of the people. He doesn't want to be a leader who's going to challenge, he's going to crack skulls and move people in the direction he wants them. And he's eventually going to crave power as well. That which he abhorred at the beginning, so he takes a liking to. So much so, number 24, the Gemar Menachos, Daf Kuftesim at Beis, Tanya, Amr Rav Shuvim Prachya. Remember, Rav Shuvim Prachya was one of the Nisim in the latter period of the second base of latter part of the second base of Mikdash period. Rav Shuvim Prachya said about himself, at first, anyone who said to me, go up and become a Nasi, I would bind him and throw him before a lion. Because who wants the job of being a Nasi, a ruler over Jews? Ata, now, anyone who'll tell me to go down from my position, I'll throw a hot urn on his head. Because I'm not giving up the position now that I have it. Sha'arei Shaul barach mimeno. Shmuel ran away from the kavod. He didn't want to be the melech. Uch she'olah, once he became the king, bikesh la'arug as David. Of all people, he's going to want to kill David HaMelech. How could that be? Finally, one other point which reflects back on the beginning. Rav Dessler writes, what's the Seder of the Geula, the order of redemption? First there's a king from Rachel, then there's a king from Leah. And in fact, that's how it starts. Shaul is the king from Rachel. He's later replaced by David, who's the king from Yehuda. And he says the melech from Rachel is the one who starts the hisorus, the arousal towards our national fulfillment. But that doesn't endure. As a matter of fact, what he does is he creates the infrastructure. In Shaul's case, it's the infrastructure of governance of the Jewish people through a melech. In the case that we look forward to in the future, it's Mashiach ben Yosef. Because just like the redemption unfolded, just like the monarchy unfolded first through the ben Rachel and the ben Leah, so too, first Mashiach ben Yosef comes, and he rebuilds the physical infrastructure, the material infrastructure of Jewish life, of Eretz Yisrael, puts us on a solid political footing. Just like the Malchus of Shaul that Ben Rachel doesn't endure, so too the Malchus of Mashiach Ben Yosef doesn't endure either. Yosef builds the physical infrastructure, David implants the Ruach HaTorah, so the physical infrastructure comes to life. That's the order we followed then. Malchus Beis David came, then the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, that's the order we follow. Adayom Azeh, Mashiach ben Yosef comes, he rebuilds Eretz Yisrael, straightens out our political order, which is a lifelong task, and then he's killed in battle, Chazal say, to be replaced by Mashiach ben David, Shetovo b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen. Okay. So Shaul had all the midos, all the attributes and characteristics that we would want in a king. Question now is, what went wrong? What changed Shaul? That, next time.